There's been points where I say, you know, I would like this to crash and burn, and I want to see where you get your coffee in the future. Because we take all the risks and not the profit, you know? And it's just having to depend on the sea market is just a way to tell us that our work doesn't mean anything, right?
Wow.
If at the end of the day, the sea market is what rules, and your coffee is going to be more valued because there was, you know what? The sea market is not even grounded in reality anymore. People say, yeah, it's because of the frost in Brazil, but it's more, I think it's more the big funds and all the speculation that goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 2 of a 5-part series where we're talking about the reality of being a coffee producer. Mark from Finca Rosenheim in Peru is here with me, and we are today going to talk about something that we have been exploring on the podcast for quite a long time now, but we want to have a concentrated conversation about it, and that is the power dynamic between producer and roaster. Mark, I mean, where to start this discussion? But how powerful do you feel across the supply chain? How much power do you feel that you've got as a producer?
None. You know, there's so many people producing coffee. If somebody doesn't get your coffee, then they can get it from somewhere else.
Now, so, when we spoke yesterday, and I'm sorry that I interrupted you there, you gave me an impression that actually I felt very embarrassed. I felt embarrassed for the businesses on the consuming end of the market. And I seem to be saying these words a lot lately, embarrassed and ashamed and all of this kind of stuff. Because what you articulated to me when we spoke yesterday was that you are almost at the mercy of the people who would buy your coffee. And that seemed to be, and this was the part that made me ashamed, influenced the things that you say on social media. It influenced the way that you do things on your farm. It influenced your idea that you should or shouldn't have a voice on this podcast, because maybe the people that you sell coffee to won't like what you say, or because your customers might not like. And it was all of that. Like, you as a producer seem so beholden to your customer that you are shackled from having any of your own real expression in case it might damage your ability to participate the way that you want to participate in the supply chain. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes. So I have a long relationship with my principal client, and every time I say that, it's just, I'm lucky to have this client. So The fact that I have this client and this long relationship has allowed us to survive as coffee producers, especially in the worst years, back, I don't know, around 2016. So yeah, I value this relationship with this client, and I would not like to jeopardize it.
Excuse me. That's the first time I've ever sneezed on the podcast in 7 years. I'm so sorry. Carry on. My apologies.
Yeah, but the fact is, I I'm not, you know, all this social media work and all of the effort is to try to be coffee that is known by its brand, that people know the farm, where the coffee comes from, and that we are special, right? To be special in the eyes of other people. So they say, oh, this is Finca Rosenhan coffee. I want Finca Rosenhan coffee.
Right.
Because, and I get this when I talk with other producers, it's like a client can just tell you, we're not going to buy this year. We're not going to buy coffee this year. Or, yeah, you have extra coffee. Yeah, but we just need so much. And then you're, oh, what do I do with this coffee now? Is sell it in the local market? That's for specialty coffee. That's just not affordable.
And that's a really important thing for us to understand, is that if you labor to create this product and you invest to create this product and you all on your farm conspire to create this product, and the supply chain is set up so that if a roaster simply decides, I don't want this coffee for whatever reason, they just either ghost you or decide not to buy it, and you are then left having to go and find another buyer. Correct?
So, yeah, that's the thing. I love it because this, you were talking about this with Madeline, mm-hmm. and I was listening to this. It's like, oh, then you should talk with the victim, and I'm the victim.
Well, and it's why we wanted to have this conversation. Go on.
Because I've had this experience last year, so with a buyer that, well, you guys are always talking on how roasters are telling producers how to produce their coffee. And I had this experience. I had a customer that did buy coffee from me, and then he sent me like, hey, you should try this processing method. And like, we're very interested in this processing method. And I said, you know what? We also like to experiment. I'm going to humor you. And we did it. And coffee didn't turn out great. But to his credit, he bought it.
Great.
But this was the same customer that had asked me for this 200-hour fermentation coffee. And he just went, no, just send me that coffee. And, you know, the other one, I'm not interested.
Is that what the 10 bags anymore. Are?
Yes.
Right.
And I went like, oh. Yeah, like I already passed the opportunity to sell this coffee to someone else because I knew you were interested in this coffee. So I just wrote him, you know, I will have to take this into account in our future relationship. And now he's sending me messages saying, hey, we should change on this process. You know what we can do better? Like, I'm not even checking his messages because if our relationship's going to be like that, there's nothing. We can't have a relationship after this. That's it.
So it's that simple for a roaster to just piece out of an agreement. Why is it that easy? Do you have a contract with them? Do you...
Maybe I was dumb in not pushing more. I don't know. It's... I trusted that he wanted this coffee. And then he just... I'm not interested in this coffee anymore.
Okay. Right. So it's the business practices that are enabling this kind of dysfunctional behavior.
I don't know. I think maybe the problem is that I did something wrong, that I did not secure it, that I should have offered to someone else. I don't know. I'm not going to blame. I don't think what they did was right, but I should be better in the future.
I got to ask you, do you feel resentment towards people who, like, to the fact that you can be treated this disrespectfully?
Hey, I'm bitter.
Yeah, I can understand why.
But not. For just this case. And again, like I have to balance this with the fact that I've been very lucky and I have a client that I can work every year And I survived in this coffee industry. Like, there's been so many years where the thing was just another year was still here. But there's been points where I say, you know, I would like this to crash and burn. And I want to see where you get your coffee in the future. Because we take all the risks and not the profit, you know? And it's just having to depend on the sea market is just a way to tell us that our work doesn't mean anything, right?
Wow.
If at the end of the day, the sea market is what rules, and your coffee is going to be more valued because there was, you know what? The sea market is not even grounded in reality anymore. People say, yeah, it's because of the frost in Brazil, but it's more, I think it's more the big funds and all the speculation that goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's not grounded in reality at all. And to have to all your work, for example, I remember 2018, it was the first year that we really got to, like, our yield got better. So we always work based on yield, right? How much we get per hectare. And we've been doing so much work. And 2018 was finally a year where we had a lot of coffee. And you know, I was very proud of myself because it was like, I managed it. We got it. We're good. And then the price was not
crashed.
Yes. And like all this work.
And it was like around 94 or something like that at the time.
I just know it was below production costs.
I mean, yeah.
That one time.
It's been that for a long time, right? Below the cost of production.
Well, when, you know, Lee, I started in 2012. So I got one harvest, and that was hard times for the farm. And then the coffee rust started. And then what they call now the coffee price crisis. Remember, that was many years. So for me, working the farm was all about cost reduction, all about cost reduction. So just in the last 3 years, we finally like done business. And that means we invest in the farm. And the years before that, it was just, you know, exporting the coffee, getting the money, and then can't
say
do
that again. Say that again in the order that you said it. You export the coffee, and then what happens?
I get the money.
Okay. So if I understand that correctly, you invest in the inputs that are required to grow the coffee. You pay for the labor. You grow the coffee, you process, or you harvest the coffee, then you process the coffee. Then you ship the coffee, and then you get paid?
Yes.
So the coffee arrives at the other place, and that's when you're getting paid, right?
I get paid when the documents arrive.
Right. So my point is that I want people who are listening to this to understand all the investment that goes in doing this, and it's only then that the producer is seeing the money.
That is also one of the main reasons why people cannot go outside or go further with their coffee. You know, storing coffee and being able to pay the harvest is so expensive. The pickers, picking the coffee and just selecting the coffee and putting it on the basket, that's 45% of the cost of production. So during the harvest, every week, I've got lots of money being paid to the pickers. That they do a great job, and we need them. Of course, I'm not.
You don't have a business without them.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of money, and we have to finance this coffee, and not many people, and you have no idea, financing here in Peru is so hard. Back then, I was working with the Agrobank. So it's a bank that manages state funds to encourage agriculture in Peru. You know how much was the interest rate? 21%.
You know, folks, when I tell you on this podcast that interest rates for agricultural loans are between 20 and 50%, please know that I'm not talking bullshit here. You and I did not discuss this before the podcast. This is the first time you're telling me that, right? Most people say
that
to me, surely that's not true.
The hardest things for producers to, because you cannot export five bags just that like that. No. So we have to get all our coffee, store it in a secure place, make sure it doesn't humidify. So we have to use expensive bags and have a good place to store it. We have all the risks, we have security concerns, and we have this financing. And because producers don't get access to good financing, many of them have to start selling that coffee to be able to finance the rest of the harvest. So for me, that was one of the things that that were the hardest. At some point, I started working with another bank that gave me 15%. And now I finally have gotten to a point where I finance myself. So
that's
awesome.
I've got
money that I use from the family to finance the harvest of ourselves. And I pay good interest for it.
I'm sure you do. I have a question. Why are you still a coffee farmer?
I don't know. Okay. So we don't have this farm because we want to produce coffee.
Mm-hmm.
We have this farm and we have this land, and I inherited this coffee plantation. It was done as a hobby, I think, before. So my challenge was to make it a business, and we have this business. Every year we have to reinvest in our plantations. It's not like we can abandon that. And I am diversifying. I'm definitely diversifying. And now that I'm doing much better, I am thinking, I am planting some experimental lots. I am trying new varieties. But at some point, I was just reducing the coffee plantations, the areas, and thinking, okay, we're going to do something else. When things have been the hardest, what kept us afloat was because we had trees and we could sell the lumber.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've been planting, I haven't been planting much coffee. I've been planting more trees.
What kind
they
of
trees? They require
less
eucalyptus and pines.
We have to have a conversation off air about eucalyptus for legal reasons. But I do want to find out more about that eucalyptus stuff. I'm sorry, folks. I swear to God, in a future episode, you will understand why I have said that. But anyway, I shouldn't have said anything.
It's okay. But I'll tell you, I love eucalyptus. They're such an easy tree to grow. It requires so much less labor.
Okay, now I have to say something. In case there are other producers out there that are thinking about eucalyptus, I just want to say one thing about eucalyptus. And remember, I'm not a coffee producer, but I am privy to a lot of things that go on different origins. Treading careful here. So eucalyptus is one of those crops that if you have a problem with water, access to water, eucalyptus will eviscerate the supply of water in the ground. So if you're in Colombia or if you're in Peru or if you're in a place that has loads and loads of water, that's okay. But if you're in a country like Ethiopia, and all of the Ethiopians that are listening to this know exactly what I'm talking about, it becomes a problem. So please, like, before you go ahead and think, oh, I heard on the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, eucalyptus is a really great thing to do, please ask some questions before you do it, because we don't want to be the reason that you end up planting something that ends up causing a lot of problems for you. And I'm saying this, please, folks, know that I'm saying this, having some information that I can't share with you.
You know, we plant eucalyptus where we have marshes,
mm-hmm.
where we have lots of water.
So it's helpful, right?
Yes. But for example, eucalyptus, you cannot plant where coffee is because it will compete and it will dry the coffee.
Correct. Thank you for saying what I was trying to.
Don't worry. We plant pine trees on the upper parts. And then where we got these valleys and these mm-hmm. marshes, we got a lot of water here in the farm. We plant eucalyptus. And they love the water. It's, yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, that's fantastic in places that have a lot of water. But there are people that are promoting the growth of eucalyptus on farms that they perhaps would like to purchase one day. And so the way to devalue that property is to... So. There's a lot of fuckery that's going on in coffee right now. And we should stay away from that anyway, because I value my life. So in the next episode, folks, we're going to be talking about traveling to origin and talking about valuing people's lives. There's a lot of great things that can come from going to origin. And I think I was one of those people who was getting quite sick of the fact that people were like, 5 years ago saying, I'm going to origin. And just so that they can be seen taking a selfie with somebody and, doing the whole white savior thing. And, Mark has a lot of opinions about why have people stopped coming to Origin. So we're going to have that conversation in the next episode. As I sign off this episode, I do want to say something. What I sign off is actually peace, love, and peanut butter. Mark, what did you think I used to say?
For a while, I thought you were saying peace or peanut butter. And trying to make sense of that.
Peace over peanut butter. I concur. So, peace over peanut butter. Everybody have an amazing rest of your day. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.